Hey, it's Ryan Seacrest here, and I have discovered a fun new escape from the daily grind, Chumba Casino. Chumba Casino has hundreds of social casino-style games and it's all free to play anytime, anywhere with daily bonuses. So get to chumbacasino.com.
No purchase necessary. VGW Group. Void where prohibited by law. See terms and conditions. 21 plus.
Hour number three, Robbie and Rex Road here on ESPN 102.5 The Game. Robbie Stanley, Joe Rex Road, Ryan Porth here with you on this Monday morning, and it's time to go to our 102.5 The Game phone line, driven by WilsonCountyHyundai.com, and bring in our good friend Corey Curtis from News 2. Corey, what's going on, man? How you doing?
I am a bitter, bitter man this morning.
Are you? Why is that?
Because I had the Cardinals minus 2.5.
Oh. Ryan Porth is in the same boat. That was a tough pill to swallow.
Thank
at the end
you,
of that
Corey.
Game.
Worst beat of my life.
Not only that one, but the Nick Chubb running out at the 1 yard line when you have the Browns at minus 3.5.
He's on my fantasy team, too. It was not a good day.
But you can understand the coaching decision there, right?
Yes, I can understand.
That doesn't make him feel any better at all.
Because you don't often see it with the extra point.
Right.
I don't think I've ever seen someone take a knee on the extra point. I get it, because if it's blocked and returned, it's two and it's tied. It's the smart thing to do, but cost me money. Cliff Kingsbury is dead to me.
I think that's a reasonable take there, Corey. So, Corey, as you look at this Titans offense, and albeit three of these games without Lawan have gone up against really good defenses, Indy, Chicago, Pittsburgh, but it's obvious that the production is not the same since Lawan has gone out. How concerned are you about the Titans offense at this point?
I mean, yes, because it's not the same, but I have, I think, bigger concerns than that. You know, they've sped up Ryan Tannehill, and we've seen a little bit of a difference there. So, you know, I don't think that the guys they've got are going to be better. So, unfortunately, I think they've got to continue to do what they're doing. And, unfortunately, that takes away, you know, Johnny Smith some out of the attack. But, you know, if they can play better defense and they can stay on track more, they'll be okay. Now, you know, they had breakdowns in the second half on both sides of the ball, you know, without question. But, you know, if they stay on track more, running the football and going play action, they'll be okay. They'll also be getting back Adam Humphries, you think, at some point. So that'll help as well. I think the offense can still be functional enough to get them where they need to go.
Okay, so let's just switch it to the – how about the other – let's talk some complimentary football, which they did not play Thursday. I mean, obviously, that's a special night of special teams that you wouldn't think you'd see again, all kinds of gaffes, but it's not been very good. And obviously, the defense kind of reverts to, here, take 7 yards whenever you want it, which is all Phillip Rivers does anyway, and just on the field – all night, which seems to me to really ratchet up the pressure on that offense. We keep asking it. I think we might see Adoree Jackson this week, but when we do at some point, like, do you think that fundamentally changes anything or changes anything significantly for this defense?
Only if they play differently.
Yeah.
I mean, only if they actually pressure some receivers and take some of those throws away. I mean, guys, the Colts didn't punt till the fourth quarter. I have people telling me their names rhyme with Merritt Billman, that the defense was good enough to win that game. And, you know, look, I understand they did some good things and they got some fourth down stops, but when the other team doesn't punt till the fourth quarter, that's a problem. I mean, there wasn't a single three and out in that game. You know, there wasn't a single turnover. You didn't provide a short field. You didn't provide a quick turnaround with the football. You know, they're just, you know, it's not good enough at this point. And what I don't understand is, you know, I know Adoree Jackson's been out, but you know what they did last year? Remember last year when they didn't have Malcolm Butler and they were still okay? They still managed to go to the AFC Championship game. And so that's why I say, you know, yeah, you're down Adoree Jackson, but they've been down DBs before. They've played other teams who've been down DBs before. I think the Steelers were just minus Joe Hayden for a game. I think they won, because they're 9-0, you know. So it happens, and so, you know, these are kind of excuses. And yes, an upgrade in talent is a good thing, but they're going to have to change the way they play, because somehow, some way, they've gotten soft in their coverage. You know, we bang on the pass rush before. They don't have time to get there now because the quarterback's reads have been easy enough where they just drop back and, like you said, throw it 7 yards or throw it to the line of scrimmage and off they go. So, you know, they've got to change the way they play.
Corey Curtis from News 2 on the line with us, driven by WilsonCountyHyundai.com. So, Corey, it's really amazing now. You look at the AFC picture. The Titans are 6-3, and my favorite phrase, if the season ended today, they wouldn't be in the playoffs. I mean, they're the ninth seed right now. So as you look at the AFC, where do you think the Titans fit in with some of these other teams surging like the Browns and the Dolphins and the Raiders? What do you make of where the Titans are right now?
Well, I mean, like you said, surging. You know, some teams are surging, some teams are descending, and you don't want to be one of those descending teams because, as Mike Vrabel always talks about, you want to be improving. And we don't feel like they're improving. It looks like they're digressing. And so, you know, it's a long season. There's still time, you know, to get it turned. This is a lull right now, and they can get it turned. And, you know, I think they can be better than the Browns and the Dolphins and some of these teams and the Colts. But right now, those teams are playing better. I mean, you know, you look at the Dolphins, they're playing with a lot more edge right now. I mean, look at the Ravens. They went 12 in a row last year and were the number one seed. And last night they lost to a pitiful Patriots team. So, you know, teams are capable of turning in stinkers and still being good teams. But, you know, look, if they're going to play like this the rest of the year, the season's over, okay? It's just a matter of can they fix it, and that's what we have to wait and see.
So we've talked a lot about Stephen Gostkowski, Corey, since Thursday. I did think that maybe Friday we'd hear something, but we didn't. What would you do right now if you were John Robinson with your place-kicking situation?
You know, I will give them that this is hard because the guy's a Hall of Fame kicker, and you see him drill these 50-yarders, and you think, okay, we're good. But there's just no consistency. And, you know, right now, you're flipping a coin when he goes out there. And I don't think that that's good enough. I don't think that's a stretch to say. But the question is who do you have that you do feel like you're not flipping the coin with? And if you've got a guy, whether it's Trevecchio or whoever else, that you feel like is a better than a coin flip, then I make the change. But if I don't have somebody who I go, this guy's better than a coin flip, then I'm not going to make the change because I'm not just going to work the carousel. But I'm going to look for somebody that I think can actually help. Because as painful as it may be to say that this guy didn't work out, what's he missed, 8 kicks this year?
Yep.
That's like 2 years worth for most kickers, isn't it?
Yeah, I mean, what we just figured out the 3 guys that they had last year, what are they now? I think they're 46 of 51 collectively. the three guys.
Suck Up was 4-4 on Sunday.
Yeah.
Well, you knew Suck Up just had to get healthy. And his age and with all the issues he had last year, you didn't know if that was going to happen, and you couldn't pay him what you were paying him with it being a coin flip if he was going to be healthy or not. So, I mean, I understood the Suck Up move, and I also understood he might be good with somebody this year. But I get that move. You know, Cairo Santos, I've always felt like he's a pretty good kicker. He had a horrible day against the Buffalo Bills, and that was a knee-jerk reaction. That was, you lost us the game, you're out. And I thought of all the decisions they made, that was the biggest knee-jerk. And hadn't Cody Parkey been pretty good before
That
jettisoned him so that they could bring in Suck Up?
That was my problem, is Double Doinker gets bounced early, and Suck Up's not ready.
Yeah, and believe me, I'm a Bears fan. He is the Double Doinker.
That's right.
But he didn't do anything here to lose his job other than Suck Up getting healthy. And I don't even think Parkey's kicking anymore. I think he got out of football.
No, Parkey is doing great in Cleveland. He's part of
he's kicking in Cleveland?
Yeah. He's part of, and what is he? I think he's 10 of 11?
Yeah.
Yeah. No, they're all amazing this year.
Yeah. Well, look, like I said, I'm not surprised that Santos is good because I've always liked Santos. And I'm not surprised that Suckup's doing well. But with Suckup, I wouldn't have taken that gamble.
Corey Curtis from News 2 on the line with us, driven by WilsonCountyHyundai.com. Corey, I want to ask you about Tannehill. And you brought up maybe the clock speeding up a little bit earlier in the segment. but missed some throws on Thursday night that you've just grown accustomed to seeing. What are you seeing right now from Tannehill, and how much do you think maybe that clock speeding up is affecting him on some of the throws that we've seen him make time and time again?
Look, guys, it doesn't matter who it is. I mean, you watch Tom Brady. We watched Peyton Manning in the past. You know, nobody got rid of the ball faster than him. When those guys got hit, they weren't as good. It's just that simple. And I think Ryan Tannehill's taken more hits in the last 2 to 3 weeks than I saw him take those first 15, 16 games. Okay? He's getting hit. And he is having to – I mean, how many times are we seeing a guy come in, like, free? We're like – and even if he completes the pass, we're like, holy cow, how did he get that thing through? It's hard to play the game that way. And he physically can't feel as good as he had in the past. He's got to be sore in some regards with some of the shots that he's taking. So, look, it's like I've always said about Ryan Tannehill. Ryan Tannehill, with a good pocket and a good run game, can be a really good quarterback. But he is not one of those Hall of Fame gold jacket guys where when it all breaks down and the game is horrible and he's got to put the game on his back, he's not that guy, okay? He's not Russell Wilson where the Seahawks are done. No, they're not. Here comes Russell Wilson. We haven't seen Ryan Tannehill put this team on his back and you know, save the day. Has he made game-winning drives? Yeah, he has. He's played well, and he's made. But, you know, you don't see just the amazing, like, superhuman, oh, my God, he did it all by himself, which we've seen with some of these other guys in the past. And, again, that's not me banging at Tannehill. I think he's really good. But he needs the situation to be pretty good, too. And right now the situation's not as good, and he's struggling a little bit.
Yeah, like, you know, courage is not a thing with Tannehill.
No,
that
not
I,
at all.
I mean, I, in fact, I still think he really needs to embrace sliding at some point in his career.
I would agree.
But the clock, you said it earlier, Corey, that's what, to me, it is. It's pretty significantly altered here, which I understand, but also, I mean, that means such a – think about how many throws this year he made after standing in, you know, when he knew he could. And now it's like he knows he can't, right?
Yeah, I mean, we don't see a lot of deep balls anymore, do we?
No.
There's no time. I mean, there's generally just not enough time to get there. And, again, you guys brought it up earlier. The defenses have gotten better. There's no question about that. But when the defenses get better, guess what? Offense has got to get better, too. And they haven't been up to that challenge and not having 77 out there. Like, when you've got a guy out there who you're going to face Khalil Mack and you just say, Taylor, go get him, that is a massive luxury. Massive luxury. Because otherwise, you're dealing with two and three guys to try to stop one. And, you know, that's an issue. And, you know, Mike's not blaming Ty Sambrello, and I don't think he should. I think, you know, for a backup, I think he's done reasonably well. But we also saw last year, when Taylor wasn't out there, just how the ripple of that kind of across the line affected things. And we're seeing that rippling a little bit here, too.
Corey Curtis from News 2 has been our guest here on Robbie and Rex Show. Corey, appreciate you as always, my friend. Great stuff.
All right, thanks. Mike talks at what, 10:30 today?
That's right.
Which
early
version are we going to get, Mopey Mike or Happy Mike?
Ooh,
media loving Mike, yeah. I know.
He was very complimentary of Rex Road the other day. And his second guessing ability, yes.
Oh, yes, that's right. You guys are great at second guessing.
We are. I mean, we really are. He's not wrong.
No,
we're very
right.
good at it.
Yeah.
We're very good at it.
And you know what? I always say the best way to avoid that stuff is give direct answers. Because once we get direct answers, we actually have some information to deal with.
Mm.
But when you answer questions with nothing, then all we have is our ability to pontificate and speculate. And that's never fun.
We just got to ask questions better and answer questions better, Corey.
Yeah, that's right, we do.
We are professional pontificators. Corey Curtis from News 2, ladies and gentlemen. We'll see you next week, Corey.
All right, thanks. Bye. Yeah.
When we come back, what do we make of where the Titans sit right now in the AFC? It really is amazing when you break down the numbers of just where the Titans are right now. How in danger are they of missing the playoffs altogether? We'll discuss that on the other side. This is Robbie and Rex Road here on ESPN 102.5 The Game. For the first time ever, Nashville will host an MLS playoff game. This Friday, Nashville SC will face Inter Miami CF at Nissan Stadium at 8 p.m. for the Eastern Conference play-in match. Catch all the action on the official English-speaking flagship station, ESPN 94.9, starting with pregame coverage at 7:45. Welcome back in. Robbie and Rex Road here on ESPN 102.5 The Game. And Joe, we mentioned this a little bit earlier in the show, but it's interesting where the Titans sit right now in the AFC picture. Obviously 6-3 on the season after the loss to Indy the other night, falling to second place in the AFC South, with Cleveland, the Raiders, and the Dolphins all winning yesterday and getting to 6-3 as well. And then the Ravens losing last night to the Patriots. The Titans, ninth in the AFC picture right now with a 6-3 record, and that means they would not be in the playoffs were the season to end today. Just pretty incredible right now how competitive and how good, especially the top half of the AFC is. And I was reading a stat earlier from ESPN Stats and Info. You know, for the first time since the AFC and the NFC became a thing in 1970, this is the first time through Week 10 that a conference has had nine teams that have won six games. Pretty incredible what we're seeing right now in the AFC.
That's quite a stat. And, you know, the Titans, to me, the answer is very simple. Win your division. You know, you do that and you don't care what the Raiders and Dolphins and all these teams are
sure.
doing. And you're right there to do it. By the way, going back to our called shots last week, had a short-term one that they're not going to fire Gostkowski and Aukerman. Feeling pretty good about that one. My long-term one was that they will win the AFC South. So I just want to remind you of that.
Yes, that's still out there.
Because it doesn't look terrible yet. But, you know, you look at their schedule, and I mean, it really is right now is they're not playing their best football. They're trying to figure some things out, and they got tough game after tough game here. You know, you got really, it's not just the next two. It's obviously at Baltimore. Then you're trying to get that. You got to go. You got to go win at Indy. Then you get those Browns in here after that. You know, you've got these next three have massive playoff implications. So if you come out of here, to me, like 1-2, now you get into an easy part of the schedule. You're in tough shape. You got to win two of these three games. If you look at it in the three game, you know, stretch here.
Let's go to our text line, driven by WilsonCountyHyundai.com. Josh texts in, says, "I believe we'll lose one or two more games the rest of the season. I'm calling my shot now. The Titans will go 12-4 and lose to Green Bay because that game in Green Bay is in the snow." So Josh, still very confident. The Tennessee Titans.
That's confidence. That is confidence right there.
Would you classify that as sunshine blower?
I would say so. That might even be, like, that's like, what's beyond sunshine blower? That's a little bit, that's a little extra sunshine. That's like the sunlight that comes out of an eclipse.
I tell you what, though.
The intense sunlight.
You have to put the glasses on for?
Yeah.
To protect your eyes? I tell you what. I mean, they win this game on Sunday against Baltimore, which I will say, after watching Baltimore play last night, I view it a couple different ways. Number one, I think the recipe that happened last night was worst-case scenario for the Titans because the Ravens looked awful, and what are the chances the Ravens are going to look absolutely terrible 2 weeks in a row? Probably not all that high. But number two, you did look at that offense last night with Lamar Jackson and think, I don't know about this. Like, this is not anywhere near the same that we saw last year in terms of their production from him specifically. He just doesn't look the same to me.
Yeah, I agree. They are the most, but that's the thing with the Ravens. I mean, if you look at some of their results this year, even, you know, going into Indy, starting slow, but eventually just overpowering that team, right? Just destroying the Browns, for example. Like, when they get it how they want the game, then they can be a problem. You know, the Titans had the formula last year. So much of it was the scoreboard, you know?
Yeah.
I still think the Colts could come out Sunday and just run all over the Titans. And if they play from ahead, they're a load. But, yeah, when you get them into those spots where, you know, when they know they have to throw the ball, that's where they are limited. And I agree, Lamar Jackson, I don't know if he's regressing, but then again, he was the clear MVP last year, so you have to say he's regressing from that.
It just looks like people have figured out their offense. And you've heard people say, like, it's not an overly complicated offense that they run there in Baltimore. They just execute it so well, especially when they're able to play either, you know, a close game or with the lead especially. And it just seems like teams are figuring the offense out a little bit this year. Now, I'm not sure the Titans, other than Chicago, have figured out an offense all year. So we'll see how that goes on Sunday. But I feel better, you know, heading into this year, you circled that Baltimore game and said, all right, that Ravens game, it's going to be crucial because the Ravens are going to be so mad about how the playoff game ended last year. They're going to want to shove it to the Titans, which I still think is the case. But that offense, you know, even the first game, the first couple of games of the season, we looked at each other and said, man, that Ravens offense could be better this year than it was a year ago. And it just hasn't transpired that way since then. So I feel a little bit better after watching the Ravens offense the last few weeks that the Titans aren't just going to get like blown off the field like I thought maybe about a month ago that they could in this game.
Yeah, although, like you said, you know, the Ravens mad about last year, mad about this week too. So, yeah. You know, the Ravens, I mean, one thing we talk about how they can't come back. I mean, they were down like to Pittsburgh. You get that pick six, you know, and they did come back, and that was a really good game. They ultimately didn't make a couple plays late. But like Lamar Jackson in that game, kind of up and down, he threw another pick too. He also made some big plays. I mean, they're not hopeless. That was, again, Pittsburgh's defense is probably about as good as it gets in this league. So, but they certainly are much better when they can just have the game in their hands and run the ball. I just question whether the Titans can stop them running the ball at all. I mean, even though they just did it in the playoffs, it's a different defense and absolutely better up front last year. Jarrell Casey was a big part of that last year. Different defense.
Let's go back to the text line driven by WilsonCountyHyundai.com. Ricky texts in, says, how is that sunshine blowing? The Baltimore looked horrible last night. All we had to do is run the ball. The Colts played their best game of the season against us. It won't happen again. I think we're saying that going 12-4 with the Titans team right now, maybe a little sunshine blowing. I'm not saying they can't be the Ravens.
I think even that comment right there is a little bit of sunshine blowing.
Really?
Yeah, I mean, read what he said again. How is that possible? Like, well, all we got to do is run the ball. Run the ball is fine. I mean, there's a lot of issues for this team right now.
Yeah, the problem is, like, they've been running the ball and been running it pretty well the last few games, but the defense is just getting torched and they can't run it as much as they need to run it.
Yeah, you got to stop people, too. You got to not melt down on special teams. I mean, I don't think they'll ever have a worse night than that on special teams.
Man, I hope not.
It'd be hard to do, but it's not good. It's not a plus for them, and the defense is, it's still, of all the things, it's how do you have confidence right now in their defense?
It's hard to. Even with Baltimore struggling, like, you still feel good about their ability to move the ball against this Titans defense. And we'll see. Maybe Adoree Jackson comes back and they just look different defensively. I expect there's at least a good chance he'll be playing in this game. So what does that look like when you have Butler and Adoree in there for the first time together since the Carolina game last year? I don't know. I mean, I'm sure it helps. How much does it help in this game? That I'm not sure.
That's the thing. This is not the game. There's other matchups where you're clearly like, okay, now you have a Dorian on a receiver you're worried about, a passing offense,
right,
and it makes a difference. In this game, everybody up front, that front seven, you know, you've got to get off blocks, assignment football, tackle well, not get beat up front. I mean, Adoree Jackson, I don't even know. I don't know that this is a huge impact week if he does come back. They'll certainly take him, though.
Yeah, absolutely. And the other part you got to worry about this week that they haven't had to worry about a ton of late, and that is a quarterback moving around on you. Like Nick Foles and Phillip Rivers, they're not running on you. Lamar Jackson will, and he's still very good at that.
Right.
Very dangerous.
Yeah, and of course, he's also running by design a lot.
Right.
You know, which it's not easy. I mean, but certainly, when you, even in those obvious passing downs, he gets out of there so often and gives you a problem.
When we come back, how much trust have we lost in this Titans offense based on the way they've played the last few weeks? We'll discuss that on the other side of the break. This is Robbie and Rex Road here on ESPN 102.5 The Game. Welcome back in, Robbie and Rex Road here on ESPN 102.5 The Game. Robbie Stanley, Joe Rex Road, Ryan Porth here with you, taking you through this Monday morning in Nashville, Tennessee. And we talked to Corey Curtis from News 2 a little bit about this earlier in the show, Joe. As you watch Ryan Tannehill right now and this Titans offense, regardless of the opponent, and we know the defenses, at least three of them in the last 4 weeks, have been very good, and that is Chicago, Indianapolis, and Pittsburgh. the Titans offense just hasn't been as productive. It's not putting up the same amount of points. The yards haven't been there the same way. And they just look more out of sync than they have at really any other time that Ryan Tannehill has taken over as starting quarterback. And as we know, I mean, the offense has been the strength of the team for the Titans, and really the only reason they're in the position that they're in at 6-3, given what a disaster defense has been and what a disaster special teams has looked like for the Titans so far this year. So I ask you this, as you watch this Titans offense now without Taylor Lewan and the sample size now being 4 games and the production dropping pretty dramatically, how concerned are you that the Titans offense just isn't equipped anymore to play at a level that's worthy of making the playoffs?
Well, I think they're still equipped, certainly, to play at a level to make the playoffs. I believe that. Also, last 4 weeks, 19.5 points a game. That's not getting you there. Three of those defenses, really good. Steelers, Bears, Colts. And by the way, now Ravens and then Colts again. It's a while before it lets up on them. I mean, I guess you could say the Browns will be – certainly, I think the Browns will be a step down from this level of defense, Steelers, Ravens, Colts level of defense.
But even they, like even them, you've got Myles Garrett you got to deal with without Taylor Lewan. Like, it's interesting how you view that game now, I think, without Lewan in there.
Right. Like, you got to get all the way to December 13th when those that trip to Jacksonville, and then, you know, December 20th against the Lions before you can start feeling like – you could have a big offensive week.
Watched some Jags football yesterday. That was 3 hours of my life I'll never get back, ever.
Yeah, there's one I didn't watch a second of, and I would love to know how the heck they hung with the Packers.
Returning a punt for a touchdown helps.
But. Yeah, and they got a pick or two off Rodgers?
One pick off Rodgers.
But so you're talking, you know, still a month from now before the Titans are not having some level of concern about the opponent. But look, if you're going to be a playoff team, you got to score on good defenses too. I mean, they obviously lit up the Bills when things were rolling. The rest of their, if you look at the first five when they were averaging, 37 points a game? I mean, Jags, Texans, Vikings were bad then. The Vikings have gotten better. They were bad then on D.
Yeah.
You know, they actually didn't have a good night against the Broncos, 16-14 win. You also missed a bunch of field goals, but you can nitpick all this stuff and say, gosh, is this even a 6-3 team? And you can also say, gee whiz, if Gostkowski can just kick a regular field goal, they might beat the Steelers in overtime. And you could find a couple plays in the two other losses too. You know, I think ultimately if we're talking about the offense, I do think Humphreys matters a lot. And so you expect him back this week. When they have the full complement with Humphreys, Davis, A.J. Brown, that's good. We know what Derrick Henry. Derrick Henry right now is, I think he's underappreciated for how well he's playing. And he's been a victim of circumstance lately a lot. But that's what this offense is right now. They're not going to compensate for the loss of Taylor Lewan. It's not about Tyson Brailoe stinking. It's that he's not Taylor Lewan, and they have to compensate, and they know it. And Tannehill just missed some throws the other night that just surprised me. We're not used to seeing it. So I think it still starts with him.
How much of that is on the clock being sped up, though? Because even on some of those plays, like the throw to Jonnu Smith, I think Jonnu was running a corner route, and he had his guy beat by 3 yards. And that would have been, I mean, it's not going to be a touchdown, but it was 15-20-yard gain for the Titans on that play, and he just missed him. And it's not like he was really being pressured on that play. Nobody was in his face. He's stepping in the pocket and just misses a guy. And look, quarterbacks miss throws sometimes. I mean, Aaron Rodgers had a tight end wide open yesterday and missed him by 5 yards over his head. Like, it happens. But we don't see that happen a whole lot for Ryan Tannehill, and I feel like the last couple weeks we've seen that much more often than we have otherwise, even on plays when he's not being pressured.
Yeah, I've got to think it's the clock. A lot of it is. And he missed Jonnu Smith also on the fourth down in the end zone. He wasn't open. He wasn't super open, but that's a makeable play, yeah. But he just sailed it way over his head. It's just, we're just not used to seeing it. But some of these quick, predetermined throws have almost been picks and have also, you saw a couple pass breakups on those quick hitters to Firkser on those third downs that we're used to seeing them get. And that's credit to the Colts, too. Maybe it's a little bit of predictability for the Titans, but it's predetermined pass get it out right away, doesn't work out. I don't know what the answer is other than throw better, protect better. Yeah. I mean, I thought we said going into that game, like, this is going to be a big Arthur Smith game. And actually, think about that first drive. It was in the Colts, it's like they didn't even start playing yet. It was boom, 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 touchdown, bye.
Yeah.
You know, Dante Foreman out of the backfield. But it was, I thought that they had things going exactly as they wanted them until everything else screwed it up. The problem is then you hope that that offense can come back and put you back in a game. Because a lot of people still think it's the Titans run the ball, play D, you don't have that kind of offense. Well, they didn't end up doing it, but you also miss a field goal, you know, to get you within a score. And then it's like, Bill, to me, it's like the other night, almost like everything just collapsed as soon as Gostkowski missed that field goal. It's one miss, but it felt like bigger than that.
Yeah, and I just wonder, and I know that you're, you know, professional football players, you can't afford to think like this, but you're also human beings. Like, I wonder how much pressure the offense is feeling from knowing that you got to play almost a perfect game if you're the offense to win. With how bad your defense, like, if you're an offensive guy standing there on the sideline, you've seen enough at this point in the season to know what your defense is. It's awful. And you know that. Like, it's not like that Ryan Tannehill and Derrick Henry, even if they won't admit this publicly, it's not like they're on the sideline lying to themselves, saying, oh, our defense, that gives us a shot.
We'll get it right back.
Yeah, we'll get it right back. Yeah, like, that's not happening. So I do wonder how much pressure they're feeling of knowing that you've got to play pretty close to a perfect game offensively in order to give yourself a legitimate chance to win based on what the defenses look like the majority of the season.
That's why it's so interesting with this team, because a year ago it was exactly the opposite. The defensive guys out there and getting asked after every game, man, you know, that offense isn't really doing anything, you know, and they just keep getting stop after stop after stop and keeping you in games, and now it's just flipped around. They had that window where they were playing complimentary football. You know, that's what they did when they went to the AFC Championship.
Yes.
They played complimentary football. They haven't played it this year. That just the offense did enough, and now it's not doing enough.
But do you think there is something to that of, I don't know if pressing is the right word, but just knowing that, like, you have a three and out, and you're like, well, we just spotted the other team 7 points. I do wonder if that starts to creep into your thought process at all if you're the Titans.
I'm sure. And, like, 28 straight plays, right? I think the Colts ran, is that right? 28 straight plays from the end of the second into the – the end of the second quarter, beginning of the third quarter.
Yeah.
I mean, that's – so how long is it until you, as an offense, get to snap, you know, another play in actual time of your life? Like, it's like you're waiting for, you know, a roller coaster at Disney World, you know? And so, yeah, I'm sure there's pressing that comes with that. You know that if you don't do something right now, you're just going to sit there for another stretch, and you're probably going to be further behind.
Let's go to our text line, driven by WilsonCountyHyundai.com. Got a texter that says, this team is going 9-7 if they're lucky, and if we don't get a defensive coordinator, I'm calling for J-Rob's job.
So that's the opposite of sunshine blowing.
Yeah, 9-7. Look, 9-7 is very much on the table for this team as you look ahead to their schedule. Not saying that's what's going to happen, but you know, when they started 5-0, if you would have told me 9-7, I would have said you're crazy. 9-7 very much on the table right now.
I was about to say, can you imagine if we had that exact conversation back, you know, before the Steelers game?
Yeah.
Hey, 9-7's on the table. By the way, they're 5-0.
It's incredible.
I mean, it would still, for them to get to 9-7, it would take a somewhat surprising loss, but more and more of the Browns game looks more like a toss-up than it would have a couple weeks ago. But certainly Ravens, Colts, Packers. That's three games that they're going to certainly have to play better than they've been playing to win those games. So that puts you at 6 if you can't get it done in any of those. And then they should win the rest to me right now as we stand here. They should not be worse than 10-6. But
who knows? I mean, they lost to the Bengals.
Right. Yeah, that one's going to haunt them.
Let's go back to the text line driven by WilsonCountyHyundai.com. Nate text in. Could it not be a trust issue? Could it be that the Titans have played good teams the last 3 or 4 games, and before the Steelers, the teams just weren't all that great? This may just be what the Titans are against good teams.
All right, listen, I think that's fair. I think the exception to that one is the Bills. That's also just a wacky Tuesday night. I mean, And that game was...
A lot of emotion in that game, too.
A lot of emotion. You got the huge turnovers in that game. Basically, this defense has to get turnovers because it does not get enough just three and outs or even quick stops. But if we're going to talk about who they've beaten, that was a blowout over a 7-3 team. Short of that, yeah, you can easily look at the first five games and say, okay, they had a soft schedule. They've had other years here where they've had to really make up ground late and the schedule lent itself to that. Well, that's not this schedule. This schedule ended up being, although going into it, you didn't think so. You thought Broncos, okay, they could be good this year. Vikings, they should be good this year. But the reality is, at the moment especially, those teams weren't very good, most of them. So, yeah, I think it's fair. I mean, this team right now does look like a 9-7 team to me.
Let's get your reaction. 615-737-1025, 615-737-1025 on our phone and text lines, driven by WilsonCountyHyundai.com. Have you lost complete faith in the Titans offense without Taylor Lewan and the production struggles that we've seen over the last four games? Let us know on our text line, driven by WilsonCountyHyundai.com. That's coming up next. But first, make sure you're tuning in for this weekend's NFL Game of the Week on 102.5 The Game, brought to you by Red Spirits and Wine in Bellevue and Gary Force Acura. This Sunday, the NFL Game of the Week is the Green Bay Packers taking on the Indianapolis Colts. Big implications there for the Titans as well. Coverage begins at 3 p.m. with a 3:25 p.m. kickoff. We'll be right back. Robbie and Rex Road here on ESPN 102.5 The Game. Welcome back in, Robbie and Rex Road here on ESPN 102.5 The Game. Sirius XM NFL insider Adam Kaplan will join us to begin the 9 o'clock hour, so looking forward to that. We'll look ahead at the Titans-Ravens matchup with him. Also, go around the league as well, so looking forward to having Adam join the show. Right now, talking Titans and asking the question, how much faith do you have in this Titans offense without Taylor Lewan that they could play at a level that's worthy to get them to the playoffs? Let us know, 615-737-1025, 615-737-1025 on our phone and text lines, driven by WilsonCountyHyundai.com. Got a texter that says, I feel the Titans have become completely predictable. They run the ball, then play action in there, maybe get a slant or a deep route from A.J. Brown, and it's not enough. Tannehill, over the last couple of weeks, has gotten more inaccurate on some of these plays. I'm losing faith in winning the big games, and the offense has to step up to stay in these games with how bad the defense is.
Can't really disagree with any of that.
Yeah. I mean, A.J. Brown right now, especially when you've got – I mean, you said this, Joe. You've noticed many plays where they've got two guys running routes, and A.J. Brown's one of them. Well, if you've got two guys running routes and A.J. Brown's one of the two guys, guess where the attention's going on defense? It's going to A.J. Brown. Yeah. So that makes it more difficult as well.
And, hey, on the Tannehill front, let's also remember – you know, we talked to Corey, and he's like, we haven't seen him throw deep. And it's true, not a ton. I know they had one shot lined up for Raymond the other night, and I forget what happened, but he never got it off. He did throw one deep ball that A.J. Brown needs to haul in and score on, and might be talking about the 7-2 Tennessee Titans right now. You know? I mean, it's one play, but honestly, you think about that game at 14-0. What does that do to the game?
Now that we've seen four games of the Titans offense, granted against pretty good defenses during that time, except for Cincinnati, but the last four games, now that we have a look at the Titans offense without Lewan, do you feel like there was maybe an underselling of how important that injury was back in the moment? Because you're coming off that Texans win. It's, you know, a 5-0 record at that point. Derrick Henry's going crazy. Ryan Tannehill's going crazy. They're 5-0. And it's like, okay, they lost Lewan, but the offense is still clicking at an all-time high. But now that we've seen what the Titans offense has done since that, do you think back and say, oh, well, maybe this injury was a little bit bigger than we thought, which we thought it was big in the moments. Yes, but maybe not as big as what it turned out to be.
I tried to be like, guys, this is huge. Again, it's like, why are you paying $80 million to somebody? I just like him. I love the Boss Hog uniform, you know? He's a funny guy. You pay him $80 million because, like Corey said, hey, Khalil Mack, okay, you get him, right? It's a huge deal. So the problem is, too, Ryan, is like, it's always taken as a shot at the next guy. That's how they all take it. Even earlier, you're asking about, it's like, well, Ty's done. No one's saying Tyson Brailo some Brylo, yes. A lot of people in the market still struggling with some Brylo.
Yeah.
It sucks. He's a great pickup for what he is, but you're not paying him $80 million. Yeah, I think you're right, though. You go back and revisit. Like, it fundamentally changes how you do some things. And they downplay that, and they'll continue to downplay that. But you can see it out there a lot that they have to devote more attention to making sure Tannehill can throw a pass, and they can now devote fewer resources to giving him options.
Let's go back to our text line, driven by WilsonCountyHyundai.com. Fred from Ashland City texts in, I'm more worried about wide receivers dropping wide open touchdown passes and the defense getting a one stop a game after a 10-minute drive. It's pretty hard to score points for the offense when you only get the ball 4 to 5 times in a game.
Yeah.
Yeah, I mean, the not being able to get off the field part of it. You mentioned, you know, to close out the second quarter against Indy, and then you go on another long drive to begin the third quarter when they get the ball after halftime. I mean, your offense has been off the field for like an hour and a half at that point. It's hard, even if you don't have, like, everything clicking, they were able to make some plays against that Colts defense. They were able to run the ball against that Colts defense, and you're off the field for that long. It's hard to generate any positive momentum and keep it that way when you go so long without getting the ball back. I mean, that's you talk about complimentary football, and we joke about that a lot. But the defense is making it, like I said before, you've got to play basically a perfect game if you're the offense. And that is a very difficult spot to be in today's NFL.
Right. So, you look at the offense, like you said, all these plays – and the Colts, they end up getting that field goal where they get one tick left. The funny thing is all those plays for the Colts, they got 3 points out of them. You know, and then you go Henry, running, and then, you know, we all know what happened. You introduce a horrible special team situation, and it just makes it that much worse. You know, go to that when they're behind. That's where you have your three and out that just kills you. And what happened on that three and out? You mentioned it earlier. You got Janu, and you miss him. Okay, so the margin for error is such right now that you can't miss a throw. But he missed one throw. Derrick Henry gets one on the very predictable. This is something the Titans have got to be a little bit – I mean
– the second 10 stuff?
The second and 10 run to Derrick Henry is absolutely guaranteed to the point that it's like it's a joke now in the press box. Oh, here comes – you know, sometimes it still works. But everybody knows it's coming. But then, you know, so you got 3rd and 9, and it was one of those predetermined trying to get to Firkser. It wouldn't have gotten a first down anyway. It got batted away. I don't think he dropped it. I think it got batted away, but it was short of the sticks. And boom, you punt. Then, you know, that's the punt blocked. It's 27-17. But, like, the margin for error is just – it's very low. And so it's hard on the offense. Like, you sympathize with them because they are so not supported by the other side of the ball. But at the same time – everybody knows at this point, if this team's going to do anything, that's the side of the ball that's going to carry them.
Let's go back to our text line, driven by WilsonCountyHyundai.com. Ron texts in, says, Jim Harbaugh is not good in college, so he might as well come back to the NFL and be the defensive coordinator for the Titans.
Defensive coordinator?
Yeah.
That's another Harbaugh's. We're switching the sides of the ball here for these guys. Put O'Brien on. Yeah. Yeah, I think Harbaugh is going to be an offensive guy. As he always has been.
Yeah.
You know what they should do? They should put Matt Patricia on offense, make him the OC, and then put Jim Harbaugh at DC.
Okay.
Change it up a little bit.
Yeah, that'd be quite interesting. I know that some people have suggested it up in Michigan, just switch teams. Make Harbaugh the Lions coach and Matt Patricia the Michigan coach and just see if, you know,
see how that goes.
See if anything gets better for either one of them.
Lions are winning, man.
They are. They're 4-5.
Yeah. That's pretty good for them.
To me, it's like a successful season of the Lions if the Thanksgiving game that everyone has to watch is somewhat meaningful. So they've got that going for them.
Which that one's a doozy this year, I think. Who are they playing on Thanksgiving
Texans.
This year? The Texans?
Yeah, Texans. Yeah.
That'll be good.
Oof. Look for Deshaun Watson to have a big day.
To carve them up like a turkey.
Oh, man.
Oh, boy.
I think the other one is Cowboys-Washington, which you talk about plucking your eyes out and not watching that game. But the Thursday night game on Thanksgiving – Ravens Steelers.
Yep.
Here for it.
Saves the day. Yes. I like how the NFL has added now usually a pretty good game as the night game on Thanksgiving because.
To compensate for the Lions and the Cowboys?
Yeah. Like, I mean, some years the Cowboys have a good game. You know, like they're good. But this year, whew, We needed that Ravens-Steelers.
Want to pass along some breaking news in the NFL. This is coming from Ian Rappaport of the NFL Network. Saints quarterback Drew Brees suffered a rib contusion in yesterday's game. He'll have an MRI for cartilage damage today, but sources tell me and Tom Pelissero that New Orleans is bracing for Brees to miss some time to fully heal. So it could be famous Jameis time in New Orleans. They kind of split it yesterday between Winston and Taysom Hill.
That's a little
weird. Which is kind of weird to me.
Yeah. Well, I mean, you got to
– as far as backup quarterbacks go, Jameis is pretty good.
Yeah, I would hope that they would basically just go all Jameis and let Taysom do his dumb stuff when he comes on the field every now and then.
You're such a hater.
I used to like the Taysom Hill curveball, but it hasn't been. It's been too many negatives this year.
He looked great in that game against Tampa when they brought him in. Of course, yeah. Their whole team did.
Yeah, well, everything worked that night.
Plus, it's happened so much that it's not really a curveball anymore.
Right.
You know?
And I think you can't stop it. Well, I think sometimes it's like he comes in and the other team's like, oh, here comes a fat 82-mile-an-hour changeup that I'm going to knock out of the park.
Ooh.
You know?
By the way, that was not you calling Taysom Hill fat.
No, I'm calling it the fat
changeup. He's a very chiseled individual.
Yeah. No, he's a great athlete. Seriously, in fantasy, he's listed as a tight end. You can go pick up Taysom Hill right now as a tight end, and he might run in a TD. You know,
may throw a couple.
I would think they'd go with Jameis. So there's no need to. You got to have Drew Brees ready for the playoffs, and the dude's old, right? So it might be a little bit.
He is old, yes. And the NFC, unlike the AFC, we've talked about where the Titans fit in the AFC, and how it's just a logjam. The NFC. I don't know who the best team is. Like, my Packers are technically the one seed right now. Let me tell you, they're not the best team. But they may get there by default.
Almost every single team in the NFC at this point in the season, and you can hardly ever say this late, is in the playoff picture.
Yes.
And the reason
even the Cowboys.
Well, right.
Even the Washington football team, 2-7.
Both 2-7, but the division leader has 3 wins.
Yes.
So just about basically the Falcons and Panthers are the only teams right now that I would count out, which is crazy.
The balance of power. I mean, last year the NFC was pretty good. I mean, you had Seattle, you had San Francisco, Green Bay, Dallas wasn't atrocious, but it's amazing how much different they look now. NFC's awful. It's like you can't have two really good conferences at the same time.
Yeah, I mean, I still think like the Packers could end up putting it all together, your beloved Packers.
Mm-hmm.
I like the Rams still. I still think the Rams
might be the best team.
That's a good team. You know, good, solid all-around team. The Seahawks are – that's some trouble. The Seahawks remind me a little bit of the Titans right now.
Yeah.
It's just like, you know, the quarterbacking and then the defense, some concerns.
There are some parallels there for sure between the Seahawks and the Titans. When we come back, we'll get into all things NFL with Adam Kaplan, Sirius XM NFL Insider. That's next. This is Robbie and Rexroad live from the Wholesale Inc. studio, powered by RumbleOn.com, here on ESPN 102.5 The Game.
Tyler Reddick here from 2311 Racing. The rush of racing? Nothing beats it. But Chumba Casino comes close. Chumba's got fast spins, fun games, daily bonuses, and all the action you can handle. Now that's a ride. Ready to hit the throttle? Get in the driver's seat and head to ChumbaCasino.com. Let's Chumba.
Sponsored by Chumba Casino. No purchase necessary. VGW Group. Void where prohibited by law. 21 plus. Terms and conditions apply.